Tower.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon to you. Good evening to you as well, wherever you are, to my New Zealand and Australian friends. As always, welcome to those of you in Europe. Thank you for all the wonderful messages I received from you out there in England and France and Germany last week on my show. I appreciate that. I think I get more people outside of America that listen to this show than people in America, which makes me think maybe I should move. But as I contemplate that, we will get back to the show. Welcome to Inside Out. I'm your host, David Matthew Brown. If you do live in Los Angeles and you're in the area on July 2nd, Sunday at 11 a.m., I'll be at CSL Antelope Valley, which is the Center for Spiritual Living. My talk is called Love the Way. So if you can make it 11 o'clock afterwards, the center is going to have a big barbecue to support their choir, which is pretty cool. So if you can make that wonderful, thank you to those of you that tuned into the Facebook Live interview that happened yesterday where we talked about my book, The Book of Light, The Heart Opening. And I'm very honored and blessed that 16 people bought the book. So that's incredible. But without further ado, for those of you joining us here on Inside Out for the first time, you may not know it, but this show has been on or was on the air for about 8 years. We're back on the air. I've interviewed over 550 guests, including Archbishop Desmond Tutu, Byron Katie, Sarah Sophia, who many of you know on social media, Candy Claire Hoff. I've had, I don't know, Gary Zukav, Don Miguel Ruiz, Byron Katie, Marianne Williamson, and all sorts of wonderful guests. And pretty much the show has a simple intention, which is to bring forth people in all different walks of life that are bringing good to the planet and then have a little dialogue about what brought them into their inner life and how they're bringing that into the world with all kinds of wonderful things, whether they're healers or raw foodists or vegans or whether they just all they eat is meat. It doesn't matter. I talk to all kinds of people in all different realms of life, and that's what makes this show unique, is that there are people in all realms that are bringing good planet, just like my next guest, who I am honored to have on my show. Not only is she a friend of mine and someone that, if you are her friend, she has your back. She is very heartfelt, honest, compassionate, strong woman on this planet that is doing some great work in her field, and I'll let her tell you more about that. But without further ado, I want to welcome Martha Hornby on Inside Out. Welcome, Martha.
Oh, thank you, David. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's great to have you on the show. I'm actually very excited. I've been wanting to have this conversation with you for a while, so I'm glad we can have it on Inside Out. I know that you've been on a particular journey, as some that have been following you on social media also get to partake in that journey as well. So what is the work that you do on the planet?
That's a good question. And my answer may not sound like most. I have been totally focused on diving into my personal authenticity, whatever that looks like and however that changes from moment to moment. And I have found that in doing that, in serving my heart, I am able to be of service to everyone around me. Sometimes this looks like group work. I hold red tent events that are spaces of honor and safety for women. And I do one-on-one work. Some of that information can be found on my website, presenceismypurpose.com. I dove into shadow work for myself, and I found that the most beautiful treasures were in there. And I showing people that the sky will not fall if you start to really honor your experience and your reality is one of the best things that we can do.
Beautiful. Was there any particular event or a moment that brought you inward to, as you just talked about, the shadow, where you were introduced for the first time to your shadow?
The specific moment that I remember, it was just a normal day, and I was walking my dogs early in the morning. It's quiet. I'm in a little village, and I had been very unhappy for a long time, experiencing moments of happiness, but no true understanding of joy. And I was aware. Yeah, I was aware that that was missing in my life. And I said out loud, as we were crossing the street, I said out loud to the universe, I said, listen, okay, what I've been doing and how I've been living, it looks like it's working from the outside, but it's not working on the inside.
No.
So I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to just feel everything, and I'm just going to be honest about everything and honor my emotions, even the ones that are painful.
Right.
And my whole life started to shift around that from that day.
When you were in that moment and you were speaking out to the universe, was there any type of feeling within you, like a sense of peace or a sense of, God, I finally got this off my chest?
Yeah, it almost felt like a confessional.
Yeah.
Because I had been able to talk about some negative things, you know. I had been able to process some negative things on more of a, like, a base level.
Right.
But I wasn't being totally real with myself. Like, I was carrying misery that I didn't feel safe to address, like it would be too heavy. So in that moment, I took all of that misery and I was like, okay, universe, like, let's dive into this, see what happens. And
right.
I felt like, you know, I felt like God heard me. Like, I was not having a conversation with myself in that moment.
Right.
And it felt really
powerful.
Amazing to be able to, yeah, to be able to just, you know, lift my hands up and say, okay, like, I'm going to trust you to have my back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. When we talk, when I hear the word real, I know it means different things to a lot of different people. When someone comes to you and you begin to create that dialogue of real, let's be real. However it comes to you. When you are talking about real, because I'm sure you bring it up, I'm not sure actually, but I'm sure maybe in your red tents, right? But what does that word mean for you?
So when I use the word real, applying it to myself, and hopefully other people understand this when we dialogue about it, it means that I am going to be honest, openly honest, even if it's painful. It means that I'm going to honor whatever it is that I'm feeling, even if logically I know that it's ridiculous, right? So even if I'm having a moment of,
okay.
of like,
love it.
Silly anxiety about something that is, you know, just like an ego story. Still going to be real. I'm still going to honor that experience because I'm a human being and it's a part of our reality. And, you know, so many people walk around pretending I'm not scared of anything, nothing can faze me. You know, I've got all of this under control when in reality we don't have any of it under control. And sort of letting go and falling into that understanding of, you know, life is happening around me. I'm not the boss of this. It's like the most freeing experience for me to have.
Right.
So that's, for me, that's what's being real.
Yeah, it's beautiful that you brought that up, because I was just looking at something this morning on grace, letting
mm-hmm.
grace in. And
mm-hmm.
I was listening to, I don't know if the person was just a teacher or a yoga teacher, or they're talking about Kundalini. And they're talking about
mm-hmm.
that awakening with Kundalini, and with it, they were saying that with grace, it's effortless.
Mm-hmm.
That you can't push grace.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So for whatever reason, listening to you, I was reminded of that I was like, oh, here's grace, right?
Mm-hmm.
Grace is,
so, yeah.
is that, yeah.
1 year ago today, I was on a retreat, a spiritual retreat in Martha's Vineyard. And we did several different yoga practices outside that day. And one of the practitioners, it was, you know, an amazing experience, but her words were such a beautiful guide, even when I left. And it's so funny that you should bring up grace, because she would talk to you, she would get you into your position, she would move you through the progress, and she would remind you verbally over and over and over to leave room for grace.
Mm.
And yeah, when I came home from that trip, those words goed in my head, and it was amazing to put that yoga practice to work in my daily life.
Mm.
You know, some people will say, oh, practice the pause, which I think is related, but it's not quite the same. Like when you come at a situation and you're like, okay, I'm going to leave room for grace here. It's so
right.
much more honoring. It's so much more honoring. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it feels exactly what you were just explaining when you were talking about just real.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because even mm-hmm. even in that state of grace, that flow of grace, you real is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And my question to you in your work, in working, as you talked about, with the Red Tent and safety
mm-hmm.
with women and different people, where have... It feels as though we are coming back into honoring
mm-hmm.
honesty, which sounds remarkable, because as a parent and as a person that works at a camp with kids, kids seem to honor that more than adults.
Mm-hmm.
And so we put different things on it. So we go, well, it takes courage to be honest, right? Or it takes,
mm-hmm.
you've got to really build up your strength to really tell somebody, like, how you're feeling. When was it within your own work where it just, where that honesty just became not easy, but you were like, oh, this is natural?
Yeah.
Does my question make sense?
Absolutely. Where honesty became effortless. So honesty became effortless externally for me when I was totally honest with myself. And as long as I am remaining totally honest with myself, you know, honoring the moment, my physical feelings, my emotional feelings, then I stay in a space where I am able to be honest with other people without effort.
Yeah.
And we do, as a society, we turn it into this, like, this, like, pilgrimage to become honest. When
right.
realistically, like, We are. It's just buried under our crap. You know?
Right.
I mean, it's there. It's just buried under our fears and our concerns and our attempts to manipulate or control situations to, you know, reach a desired outcome. And when we can remove that, It's very easy to be honest.
Yeah.
Mhm.
Yeah, I like that. It reminds me of Don Miguel has this wonderful way of explaining in relationships what happens is sooner or later someone becomes the villain and the other person becomes the victim.
Mm-hmm.
And in what you're bringing up, right, in that state of effortless honesty, what happens is those two patterns break away.
Mm-hmm.
And then we really begin to see that the person came into our life and hopefully we dealt with it and moved with it and felt all the things that we need to feel. And now as they move away from us, we no longer see them as a villain or victim because we've moved
mm-hmm.
out of that dynamic because we're fully honest with ourselves and honest with them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a beautiful way of looking at it. When someone comes to you for a session, what does a session look like or feel like?
It depends. It depends on where they are. It depends on if they bring a specific situation, maybe.
Right. Okay.
So if they have a particular focus, then we start with that focus. But normally, it's not actually about whatever that focus is. Sometimes people don't know. They just say, you know, I just feel off, and I'm not really sure what it is. And so then we start there. We start in the not knowing, and the acceptance of not knowing as totally okay.
Right.
And then it unfolds. I know for me, it took work sort of logicking my way, right, through
right.
my emotion. It took work to get out
right.
of the brain space and down into the heart space. And so almost always that comes into play for some people quite a bit more than others, but all of us get stuck. You know, we get stuck in our brain and how things should be and how things should feel and all those shoulds.
Right.
And so a lot of my work is
yeah.
focusing on creating a space where there is no should.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
In creating space, because space has been a topic that's been brought up like two or three times so far. How does one create a space when they're with, like, how do you create a space when you're going to go facilitate your group work or facilitate work with an individual? How is it that you're creating that space for them so they feel safe?
Oh, I wish I knew the formula, David. I wish I knew the formula to write it down and just give it to everybody. My only guess.
Well, I don't know. Yeah.
To be honest,
yeah. I don't know if it's not, it's what.
My sort of guess at that, because it looks different every day. Like I might have a session with somebody right after a really stressful experience, or I might have a session with somebody when I've been able to just be in a really calm, meditative spot with myself.
Right.
So my guess is that when I engage with a person or a group, I engage fully. And so whatever or however I was feeling before I step into that moment with them, it gets put on pause. So my ego and my I don't want to say emotion, but in some way, my emotion gets put on pause because my desire to serve is huge.
Right.
And when I was doing this work really before I was aware of it. But what was happening was that I would pause my brain and I would pause my emotion and I would create this space for this person. And then I couldn't jump back into where I had left off. And I would become drained, right? So a huge part of the work that I do with people or to serve people happens when I'm not with them. The better I take care of myself physically and emotionally, the easier it is for me to jump in and out of that, in and out of that sort of pure conduit space.
Beautiful. And I know that we have plenty of listeners listening in on this dialogue right now. You're on the East Coast. So how can one partake or find out about your Red Tent events? Like, how do they find you?
So my website is the easiest way to do that. It is presenceismypurpose.com. The dates for the upcoming Red Tent events are there. I do one per month, and they are held in Corning, New York. So let me think here. I have spaces still open for August and September, but the one that's happening in July is full. There's some other information on there about some of the sessions that I offer. And I'm very excited. There will be, within the next month, some downloadable, totally free guided meditations available on my website.
Cool.
Yeah, they've been, guided meditations have been an amazing tool for me for sort of self-clearing and re-energizing, reconnecting. So I want to make sure that I'm offering that tool to people because it really been awesome for me.
Yeah, that's great. And it will help people, like you said, they can download it and beautiful experience for people.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. I was going to ask you, if your five-year-old self was to come into the room where you are now and look at you, what would you tell her?
Simply tell her that she is not alone ever and that it is all always going to be okay.
I love that.
Yeah.
Is there any piece of advice that, not advice maybe, but is there anything that you go by, you just personally, that kind of gets you back on track when you find yourself off track or something that you find yourself kind of like, oh, this I love this quote, or I love this, or this reminds me of something.
Nothing's so beautiful or poetic. To be honest, my favorite word, like the word that lights up my heart, is responsibility.
Nice.
And
why responsibility?
Yeah, and because any time that I feel stress or any emotion really that I would or that as a society we would put into a negative box, I simply ask myself, what part of this is my responsibility? You know, at work, as a parent, in a relationship, as a daughter, you know, of parents who are aging, any experience that I'm having with other human beings that is not purely blissful, which of course is more often than not, what part of this is my responsibility? Getting really clear with that. And not as a tool of separation, but as a tool of service, Because if I can be clear with someone about what I view my responsibilities, you know, in that particular situation or relationship as, it can set a lot of stuff straight. Or I might find that I'm carrying, I might find that I'm carrying stress or concern or putting too much focus on things that are not my responsibility.
Hmm.
Yeah, and it can lighten the load quite a bit, the emotional load and the psychological, the psychological toll, you know.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love that. I'm gonna sit with that word after we're done with this dialogue. Because the first thing that popped in my head when you said responsibility was respiratory, which is weird. So I'll have to sit with that.
Well, you know, the breath, David.
Yeah.
You know, God is in the breath. I mean, come on now.
I know, right? Give us your website one last time.
It is presenceismypurpose.com.
Beautiful. How can, if you want to find you on social media, how can they find you on social media?
So, social media, you can search my name, Martha Hornby, H-O-R-N-B-Y.
And that's just across the board?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Well, Martha, thank you for coming on Inside Out. I appreciate you.
Thank you, David, for having me. I appreciate you so much.
Definitely. And for those of you tuning in for the first time, if you want to listen to this dialogue and you may have missed it, it's pretty simple. Just use the same link you're using right now to listen to this interview. Again, on July 2nd at 11 a.m., I'll be at the Center for Spiritual Living in Antelope Valley giving a talk, Love the Way. I hope that each and every one of you have a beautiful, beautiful day and night. Wherever you may be, may you bring the good that you are and bring it everywhere that you go, knowing that right where you are is a loving presence, and that is enough. So thank you for tuning in and joining me on Inside Out with Martha Hornby and myself. God bless. Have a blessed day, everybody.